It's just skim milk now. They took a lot of the fat out of it. And I want to help you, okay? I'm not here to beat you up. I'm not here to straighten you out. I'm just here to help you, okay? And if I can't help you, you need to vote somebody else in that can. But that's my job. My job is not to keep up with the latest TV preacher or whatever. My job's just you, okay? It's you. That's what my job is. And so when I plan sermons, preach sermons, it's all about me and you. It's not about a denomination or a big movement or something like that. This is our church. And we are the body of Christ right here. We are. And so I have to feed you. That's my job. And you may not always agree with what I say, but I'm just reading the book, okay? And one thing you can't accuse me that you cannot accuse me of is not using the book. And so I'm gonna stay in the book. You just hang in there with me, okay? I'm not telling any jokes today. I'm not being funny. I'm being real serious because it's a serious time that we live in, and there's a lot of misunderstandings about the Word of God. There's a lot of misunderstandings about God, and so I want to help you. All right, Psalm 145:17. Psalm 145:17. I'm sorry, Jeremiah. I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. Jeremiah 32. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. That's the devil to get you to laugh. I don't want you to laugh today. Jeremiah 32, okay? In verse 18, he says this, "Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompenses the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts, is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men." In other words, nothing hid. "To give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Now that's Jeremiah the prophet. Father, help us. Lord, I pray you'd give me a spirit of peace as I try to preach this. I know a lot of it's not real popular, but I'm just trying to be true to your book, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Lord, I pray for folks today that you would give us enlightenment, give us understanding. If any are not saved, you would open their eyes and let them see that they might receive Christ. Those of us who are saved, you would open our eyes that we would be more like Christ. And whatever happens here, you know we're going to give you the glory for it. And we'll ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Can God love and hate at the same time? You know, most people only see one side of God. They only see one side. Because that's all we want to see. We want to see the love of God. We want to see that side of God that appeals to us and it makes us feel good. And he does have that. Some people only see his goodness. Now, some people, that's all they want to see. And some, that's all they're going to talk about. But then you got the other extreme. They only want to see his severity. I mean, they're against everything. Heard this preacher say one time, he said, "I'm against everything. He said, I'm against everything. I'm against chewing gum, if that's what gets you." He said, "I'm against everything." But then you got this other guy over here. There's nothing wrong. As long as you love God, he thinks everything between you and God's all right. They do not understand the love of God. He has to enlighten you. The Bible says he enlightens us. He opens our eyes. Paul, on the road to Damascus there in Acts chapter 9, he said that God removed the scales from his eyes that he could see what God was doing. And he was already a religious man. He was on the severity side. But God let him see the grace of God on that road, see. Now, there is grace. There is God's long-suffering. God's long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, But that all should come to repentance. That doesn't mean everybody's going to come. It means that most are going to perish. Jesus said that. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Many there be that go therein at. Most of the world is not going to see it. And when we talk to them about the severity of God, they can't understand how God can be a God of love and also be so severe. God is good. An individual needs the proper sight of God, the proper perspective, the proper understanding of God. He's not your grandpa. I don't whip my grandchildren. Sometimes I wish I did, but I don't. I love my grandchildren. And I let them get by with stuff. But that's the way people see God. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and for His mercy endure forever." He'll never run out of mercy. And I'm glad I saw the goodness of God that day that I was saved. Because I'd only seen the severity of God. I'd never been told about the goodness of God. I'd always been told about the severity of God. Boy, if you don't quit that, you're going to hell. God's good because of His love. Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's the goodness of God. Even though we were, and some of you may still be, lost in your sin and you were sinners, God sends His love toward you every day. The mercies of the Lord. They're renewed every day. Every day you got a chance to get right with God. That's His mercy. That's the good part of God. Everybody wants to see that. And I'm glad I saw it. Ephesians 2:7 says that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding, and I'm not going to tell you to turn here because there's so many, I've typed them up so I wouldn't have to turn, but that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:7 says. Now you can write the verses down, look them up later, trust me. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved." That word grace means undeserved, unmerited. You can't do anything to get it. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. That's the goodness of God. Because of His grace, God is good. You need to understand that. God is good. Because of His grace and His love and His long-suffering. God's good to everybody. Amen. He'd say the sun comes up on everybody every day. It rains on everybody. God gives that to everybody. God sends His salvation to everyone. There's nobody. It's not exclusive. It's inclusive. Everybody can be saved. And God wants people to know that because of His grace. Romans 2:4 says, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" First they gave me the law of God, which showed me the severity of God, and then they showed me the grace of God that led me to repentance because I saw how much He loved me anyway. Still don't deserve it. Hebrews 10:31 says, "It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, though." And Hebrews 12:29 says, "For our God is a consuming fire." Amen. Yes, He's good. Thank God He's good. He's good to everybody all the time. He's not willing to any should perish. But He's severe too. He's a consuming fire. Sin will not be in His presence. Amen. You got to get that sin settled before you can go to heaven. It's not getting settled in heaven. That's the misunderstanding. The misunderstanding is that God's so good He's going to let everybody come and He's going to look at them and say, "Oh, you ain't that bad. Come on in." But He's not going to do that. He is good that He sends the offer. He made the way. He paid the price. Now He invites you to come, and that's the goodness of God, the love of God, the grace of God. There's no way you can be good enough to get it. But if you don't accept it, you're going to stand in front of a consuming fire that will burn up all your good works and you will not go to heaven. Come on, man. Yeah. You say, "Preacher, give me some examples in the Bible." I'm glad you asked that. Yes. In Genesis 6:7, there was a flood that wiped out the whole human race except for one family. And by the way, it's estimated there were 6 or 7 billion people on planet Earth at that time. and it wiped them all out. You say, well, wait a minute, a good God wouldn't have done that. They had corrupted his creation. They had corrupted. And I'm not talking about turning the water into pollution or the air into pollution. I'm talking about the whole creation of God. Their sin and their anger and their hate and their lust and their greed and their covetousness and all those things had destroyed what God had made there in the Garden of Eden. And God said, I'm done. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was the only one. You say, how can God do that? He's God. You say, why didn't everybody else find grace? Maybe nobody else was looking for it anymore. He still worshiped God. He was still the head of his family. He was the priest of his family. And by the way, there was no church then. There was no priesthood then. The man was the head of the home. And as the head of the home, he was the priest of the home. And as he had children, their children had children, their children had children, their children. Great-grandpa was still the head of the home. He was still the priest of the home. That was their church. Bible talks about a church in the wilderness. It was there because every man was the priest of his home. Now, that flood came and destroyed the whole creation itself for that one family and the animals that God put on that ark. By the way, Noah didn't put them on there. God put them on there. Amen. And Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. And Noah didn't open the door. God opened the door. And Noah didn't repopulate the earth. God did that. Now, that's the severity of God. Amen. Let me read you another one in case you don't agree with that one. And boy, this one's getting torn apart more every day. I heard a politician tear it apart the other day. Genesis 19:24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Sodom and Gomorrah was an example of the severity of God. Now the LGBT crowd now says that came because they were inhospitable. Well, that's what sinners are. They're inhospitable. But whatever you think it was, and I know it wasn't, I know what it really was, but whatever you might think it is, you still have to say God was severe in this case. There was over 2 to 3 million people lived in those cities. They grew so big, they grew together, kind of like Fort Mill and Charlotte. But God rained fire and brimstone on them. Wait a minute, I don't think loving God would do that. Well, I'm sorry, the same Bible that says he loves you says he did this. Nadab and Abihu, some of you don't even know who they were. Leviticus chapter 10, and look it up when you get home, verses 1 and 2 says, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now some of you know the story. These two boys were sons of Aaron, but they didn't like the way God told them to do the worship service, so they made up their own. And the fire was supposed to come off the altar of God where they made the sacrifices to God. That fire had been there for a long time, and God said, that's the fire, you're all wrong. And they went and made their own fire and put their own incense on, walked out there, and God killed them graveyard dead. God, hey, that's the same God that loved Noah and found grace. Noah found grace out of the Lord. This is the same God that rescued Noah and his family. But these two people went to worshiping God the wrong way, and God wouldn't accept it.
Amen.
Be careful how you worship the Lord. Amen. Numbers 16, verses 31 and 34 is about Korah. Some of you remember the story about Korah. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation, and all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. Now this man led his family, which now we think of family, we say mom and dad, 2 or 3 kids, maybe grandma and grandpa, but back then a family might be 25 or 30 people. And this man led them against the order that God had given them. Now, they didn't vote Moses. God did. And these guys said, him and his family said, well, we're just as good as the Levites. We're just as good as Moses. We're just as good as Aaron. We can do it our way. And they began to do it their way. And God said, you're not going to do it your way. I told you how to do it. And you're not going to lead my people wrongly and the earth swallowed them up, their whole family, and closed back up on them. And if that's not severe, I don't know what you'll find is severe. And the same God that wrote John 3:16 did that. Now you got to keep this balance, folks. If he's not severe, if he will not judge sin, if all he is is love, why do you need a Savior? Why did Jesus have to suffer the brutal death that he suffered? Why did he bleed like no man's ever bled? Why did they spit in his face and pluck out his beard? And why were our transgressions laid on him if God's a grandpa and he doesn't punish sin severely? So instead of punishing us, he put his sin on Jesus Christ. And if we accept that payment, we get saved because of what Jesus did, not what we do. If we got what we deserve, we still go to hell. Since the day you prayed to be saved. See, he saved us. He hath, the Bible says, he doth, and he yet will deliver us. I'm not mad at anybody except for fake preachers. You heard of fake news. There's some fake preachers. And Christians who have been deceived by these people, and now nothing wrong, and God's not severe, and he's not going to punish anybody, and it's all a big good time. Well, let me tell you something. I pray for my grandchildren they'll get saved because I don't want them to go to hell. Because God sends people to hell that won't accept the payment that he's already paid. He gave his only begotten son so we could be saved. And not to get that is a thief and a liar and a robber, he said. You can't get to heaven that way. I'm not against anybody. Let them preach whatever they want to. But I just get tired of seeing people deceived. I'm tired of our younger generation being deceived. I grew up in one of the wickedest group of people you'd ever meet in your life. Scary people. Sinful, wicked people. And we didn't go to church. We had a Bible laying on the coffee table, but nobody ever read that thing. When we tried, we couldn't understand it. We were blind.
Come on, man.
But I knew if there's a God in heaven, I wasn't going. I knew if God was true to what they said that book said, I was disqualified and I was going straight to hell. And I also was man enough to admit that's what I deserved. There's none righteous, no, not one. And these fake preachers are leading people to think, well, I'm all right, and you're all right, and whatever you do is okay, and God's not going to judge you. Now you've said a little prayer. Now lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. And you're going to be all right. Just join this church. And when the bucket comes by, I throw a big one in there. And that's not God. That's not God. And millions are being deceived. I love sinners. I used to be one myself. I know how it is to be blind. I know how it is to be dark-hearted and dark-minded. I know how it is to live sinfully and know you're living sinfully. And I have pity on the Bible says having compassion on some, making a difference. I don't run around the sinners, put my finger in their face and say, if you don't quit drinking that liquor, you're going to hell like they used to do me. Because that ain't why they're going to hell. If they'll get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and faith in him, the liquor will disappear. That's what we need to tell them. Look, there is a heaven, but there's a hell too. And why is there a heaven if there is no hell? Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. There are no results. There's no judgment. Why would we do that? I wouldn't go to a church that did. I wouldn't belong to a denomination that did. They're lying to people. They're chorus. They're going to make up their own religion. They don't care what God said about it. Well, I wouldn't hang around that crowd long. The earth might swallow them up. Fire might come down from heaven. You never know what's going on. All right, let's get New Testament. Well, preacher, that's the Old Testament. I've had preachers tell me I don't preach out of the Old Testament. Well, you're missing a lot of good preaching. Yes. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. Oh, I knew he was going to do it.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, they didn't die because they didn't give enough money. Anybody who tells you that is a liar himself. They died because they lied to God. And in the process of lying to God, they lied to all his children. And they come in their little carnal, proud way and threw a little money in the plate and shed a few little tears and said, we've given it all. And they're holding back. And God never would have killed them if they hadn't have said that. And God had to use those people in New Testament church as an example. Say, look, you can't lie to God and get by with it. There's a judgment coming. I don't look for people to drop dead in here who ain't giving. And I wouldn't know if you did or didn't. But if you come down this aisle and say, I'm going to put this in the building fund, y'all look at me, oh boy, I'm going to build this church. You better watch out. Of course, if you want to write a check and build a church, that's fine too. But don't tear it in half. You better do what you said. The Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to make one and break it. That's the severity of God. Now, we've all done little things, but look, there comes a time that God says, all right, this is it. You cannot go any farther than it. I've loved you. I've had mercy on you. I've been long-suffering. I've been good. I've fed you. I've clothed you. I've taken care of you, your family. And now you're going to do this to me? This is it. And that's what I think he was saying with Ananias and Sapphira. The list could go on. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says it, verse 6 through 12. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they're written for our admonition that we'll look and say, whoa, wait a minute. Upon whom the ends of the world are come, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now why would God tell us to take heed if there was not a severe thing coming for not taking heed? You ever looked at your kids and said, you don't want to do that? I can tell they told you. You ever done that? Because you don't want what's coming if you do that. And by the way, if you've never done that to kids, you should have. You think God, Hebrews chapter 12 says, you think your earthly father's better than your heavenly father? He'll whip you too.
Thank you, Lord.
Look, let's don't rob our children, our grandchildren, of the severity of God. Because, see, the severity is what shows us how good he really is.
Yes.
We ought to go to hell. Ain't going. That's the love of God. He's severe. He ought to send me to hell. He would if I hadn't come to his son. The wages of sin is still death. I ought to already be dead in hell. I've sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned. And yet he's been patient and long-suffering. And he didn't let me die and go to hell. He kept me going anyway. And he's so severe. He told me, you ought to go to hell. But wait a minute. Let me show you what you don't have to do. You can come over here and get saved instead. Everybody ain't going to heaven. The old slaves used to sing in the cotton fields around here. The old Christian slaves. The boss man be sitting up on his horse with a whip and they'd be singing, everybody wants to go to heaven, but everybody ain't going to go. I don't care how pretty he is. If he tells you that God's not severe and he's not awesome and he's not, he's not angry with the wicked every day, you better run away from that man.
Yes.
Or woman.
Yes.
The Bible says God's good to the nation that fears him. Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Now, I don't care what you say, all this liberal college stuff nowadays. This started when my age was kids. We saw it start. Saying that the Europeans robbed the nation from the Indians and we stole everything and now we've gone all over the world and stole stuff. Shut your mouth. God put us here. I don't care what you say. There's no way that you can look at this nation and say God didn't do this, because this nation has sent out more missionaries than any country in the world, including Israel itself in the beginning. We've sent out more missionaries. We've printed more Bibles. We've sent more gospel tracts. We've seen more people saved in this nation than any nation on planet Earth. And only God could do that. And if you don't believe it, go to Europe, where they've turned their back on God and they turned their back on the Bible, and it's a total mess now. Blessed is the nation. I don't care what you say, I still believe the majority of Americans fear the Lord. I do. I know it's not popular, but I still believe that most Americans are still God-fearing people. I'm not saying they're all Christians, but I'm saying most of America's God-fearing people because of the way they were raised. And I'm going to go farther than that. I believe America can be saved. Amen. And I believe most people want America saved. Amen. And that junk you see on TV, that's not major America. That's those little fringe groups, little lunatics, little weirdos. And they get FaceTime, but if you can see in the background, there's 10,000 more God-fearing people than those people. What we'll do is close down all the public colleges and start them over. I'm not against education. My wife's sitting over here. She's got a master's degree. I got daughters have a master's degree. I've been through Winthrop 4 times. They got a building over there with my name on it, the Roddy Science Building. She graduated, I went. Suzanne graduated, I went. Becky graduated, I went. Charity, I went. I'm not against education. I'm not against smart women. I need all the help I can get. Say amen, Billy. But look, Psalm 144:15 says, happy is that people. Oh, happy? Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Yes. We're to be the happiest people on planet Earth. Amen. I mean, God's been good to us. God's been good to the worst of us. Amen. Because of His goodness and His love. And because we do fear His severity. There's a lot of things growing up I wasn't a Christian, but there's a lot of things I didn't do because I was scared what my mom would say. I didn't have a daddy. But I drew some lines in the sand. I wouldn't cross because I thought, what would that do to my mama? There's a lot of things my mama never knew about me. Because I didn't want to break her heart. I never smoked in front of my mama. She knew I smoked, but I never smoked in front of her. I never cussed in front of my mama. Away from that, I cussed like a sailor. God had to give me a new tongue. I slammed it in the refrigerator back there today. Got a test. Still works. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I drew some lines in the sand because sometimes I was scared of my mama. She wasn't that tall and that big around, but I had fear sometimes. But I think if Christians would just get thoroughly right with God, we'd be happy people. Amen. I think if Christians get thoroughly right with God, our nation would be happy again. Yes. So our country ain't happy right now, brother. I don't know if you noticed it, but not happy. Not happy people. Now, you know who I blame that on? I don't blame it on that man that wants to dress like a woman, one wants to dress like a man. I don't like that. I know it's sinful, it's wicked, it's wrong, especially don't come around my children. But that's not the problem here. Hey, I'm not mad at the drunk. Drinks a gallon of liquor a day and brags about it. I'm not mad at him. Though that's wrong, don't come around my children. You know who I'm mad at? I'm mad at hireling preachers that they pay big salaries to tell them smooth things. And I'm mad at Christians that's afraid to tell their children right because they're afraid they're going to lose their children. Well, let me ask you, where are they going to go? They're already going to hell. You can't drive them no farther. They're already going to hell. So why are you afraid to say something to them? God is severe. He's good to the nation that fears Him, but He's also severe to the nation that rejects Him. Psalm 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." There's a judgment day coming. Deuteronomy 29:28 says, "And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day." Israel, still that way. Yes. Now God's good to the saint that fears Him, but God rejects the nation that does not fear Him. About the saint, he says in Psalm 34:7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them." God's not as severe to the saint as He is to the unbeliever. And He's not as severe to the nation that fears Him as to the nation that does not fear. And by the way, let me back up on that a little bit. You take all the nations in the world that don't fear God, they don't fear the Savior, they don't believe the Bible, and you show me one that's successful. Show me one! Show me one that's not in turmoil. Show me one that hasn't been taken over by communists or socialists. Show me one where they're not chopping each other's heads off. But you come to America and we get mad at each other and we get over it. At least we used to. And I can love you and be disagreeable sometimes, but I can still love you. God's good to the saint that fears Him. Psalm 111:5 says, "He hath given meat unto them that fear Him." Now, let me tell you something. Bully Fogberry told me this when I first got saved. I didn't know anything about the Bible. The man that led me to the Lord, Pastor Fogberry, Eastside Baptist Church, North Jones Avenue. Here's what he said. "I've never seen a saved, baptized, living right, tithing Baptist that had need of anything." Now, Eastside be rich. He just said, "You obey God and God will take care of you." Amen. Amen. Because God's good to those that fear Him. And He says that He'll give meat unto them. Meat means food. Psalm 147:11 says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him and in those that hope in His mercy." You know what pleases God when you have hope in His mercy? You say, "Preacher, I'm not much of a Christian, but I believe the Lord's going to take care of me. I'm a failure half the time, but I'm trying my best, and I keep praying up and trying to do right." Well, the Bible says that God's going to take care of you. And He not only will He take care of you, but it pleases Him to take care of you. You see, when my children come to me and I don't have much, I got a lot more than I used to have, which was nothing. When I got married, I had 2 Winn-Dixie bags of clothes and a 1972 Dodge Demon and a devil driving it. I didn't have much to offer. But since God saved me and I've tried to be obedient to Him, He's taken care of me and He's given me more than I deserve. And I'm going to tell you, I tell my children, I tell my grandchildren, as long as I'm alive and I got something, you ain't ever going to need it. You can have mine. I'll help you. You will not want or go without if you'll let me help you. But on the other hand, I'm not going to help them if they're disobedient and rebellious. But I love my children. And son, did you know it pleases mom and daddy to take care of you? I know we gripe about our kids and we complain about them. But you know, raising children is the most pleasurable thing we've ever done. Especially when they look at you and crawl up in your lap. Yeah. And they give you sugar. I mean, there's not more pleasurable things in the world. And it pleases us. Don't it please you to take care of your children? Yes. You like to go to work every day and buy the bread. We worked 70 hours or more, and it didn't grieve us to work. We was wanting to take care of our children because it gave us pleasure. I told y'all, my mama, when I was growing up, I thought my mama liked chicken necks. I thought mama's the only person I know that likes to eat chicken necks. How many of y'all ever ate a chicken neck? Raise your hand. You was hungry. And mama run around that table on Sunday. That's the only time we had meat. And usually it was chicken. And she'd put that food out and she'd make sure everybody had their plate full. And by the time we get down to it, she'd reach over and take that chicken neck out so nobody else could get it. And while we was eating, she'd stand over eating on the counter and serving everybody else. But it gave her pleasure to eat chicken necks so somebody else could get the meat. Parents don't think like that anymore. But God gets pleasure out of supplying the needs of His children. It's not a chore.
Amen.
But then, those that don't serve Him, Hebrews 10:26-31, for if we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. My mama loved me, but you didn't want her to get the fly swatter, because she never swatted flies. She shooed flies. And it had a metal handle on it. It wasn't plastic, it was metal. And after we got to be teenagers, it was a broom. Mama loved me, but you better, hey. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God loves you. He's going to supply your needs. He's going to take care of you. He's going to save you, take you to heaven. But you get disobedient, God will whip you.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 5:5, to deliver such a one under Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He tells the church there at Corinth, he said, don't you pray for that guy. You turn his soul, his body over to the devil, and God will use the devil to whip him, and God will save his soul. 1 Corinthians 11:30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He said they're not giving right, they're not taking part in the Lord's Supper right, and because of that there's a lot of them sick, some of them's even died because of disobedience. By the way, ain't that something? You die and get to go to heaven. You just went a little early. God's good to the sinner, and I'm through to accept His salvation. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. One of my life verses, Psalm 42:3, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. God's good to a sinner that accepts Him. He's never turned a sinner away. Whosoever, that's what it says. Whosoever shall call, that's all you got to do. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But let me warn you, we're out of time, I know, but that's the love and gentle part. But he also says in John 3, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he's not believed on the name of the only begotten Son, he's not put all his trust on that name, Jesus Christ. God's been good to me. How about you? But it's a severe thing. Now, I laugh and joke, but you know, it's a serious thing dealing with God. How you been doing this week? How's your family?
Amen.
How's your children?
Amen.
Some of y'all ought to have your children in church more. We're not going to run them off. We're going to run them in. You ought to get more of your family in to Jesus.
Yeah.
You ought to point to Him, not you. Don't say you do what I say. When they say why, you say because that's what the Lord said. We just got to do what He says. He wants to love you. He wants to save you. He wants to take care of you. But you see, you got to let Him adopt you. Is anybody here today they'd like to get adopted by the Heavenly Father? Let's stand. Father, thank you for the word.